All right, Matthew 28, and we'll read, of course, the standard text here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be in your house tonight. And Lord, I do stand here, Lord, in awe of your grace in my life. And I'm so thankful for the many faces that I look out and see in the auditorium tonight, from my dear mother to Pastor Holmes and Pastor Lewis and so many, Lord, that all bring a different memory. People we played basketball with, people we grew up with, people that have helped and invested in our family and ministry and loved on us over the years, Lord. And I'm so grateful for the friendship of each and every person here tonight. And Lord, we're reminded that this is all impossible without you. Our fellowship is one with another just because we have fellowship with you. Our commonality, our common bond is because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we have tonight. We're thankful for that grace that was shed on us abundantly. We're thankful that that grace is made possible through the sacrifice of your Son. And Lord, as we conclude this missions conference, Lord, we're tired. People have put in a lot of extra hours, a lot of extra travel, a lot of extra time, Lord. But they're here faithful yet again tonight. Please honor them. Please honor the preaching of your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we think of the grace that was given to us, Lord, that we would then be good stewards of that grace, that we wouldn't just be something that was an investment of your grace that just kind of stopped with us. Lord, help us to be an investment of your grace that continues to invest in another person and another and another for years to come. Lord, we love you and we need you. Speak to us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message is, What Are You Worried About? What are you worried about? And the context of what I want to talk about tonight and what I believe the Holy Spirit has for us tonight is the Great Commission. And we think of going into all the world, preach the gospel, right? That's what kind of motivates these guys to give up a career, give up a job, give up another calling perhaps, and to go to the far-flung regions of the earth. That's what inspires us to put together scriptures. That's what perhaps could motivate us to fill out a card and give money to people we'll never meet. This idea of the Great Commission. But it's important that we understand the Great Commission in the context in which it was given and to the people to who it was given. Sometimes I think we think the Great Commission was given maybe in a similar venue as tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ stands up in a nice auditorium and everybody's comfortable and he's like, go and preach the gospel. But that really wasn't the case, and it wasn't in a church setting. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission not to people who had a job or a salaried position. He didn't give the Great Commission to people who were qualified. He didn't give the Great Commission to people who were particularly talented or to people who were really of a sound mind or of a sound financial status. Okay, he gave the Great Commission at a really low point in the church. He really did. And we're going to look at that tonight and hopefully draw some encouragement and strength from that tonight. The Great Commission, I would say, first off, was given in the face of great doubt. Put yourself in the disciples' position, if you will. They weren't living in a free country like the United States of America. Right. They were living in an occupied land, okay? They were living in Israel, but they were occupied by the Romans. And it wasn't exactly a time of great freedom. The Romans weren't exactly friendly towards the Jews for the most part. It wasn't exactly, land of the free, home of the brave type scenario for the Jewish people. They were an occupied people. They were a defeated people and discouraged people and a persecuted people as a people group themselves. And along comes a man. And they've been looking forward to this man for a long time. The Messiah. And a couple people of humble origins by God's grace were chosen and they were able to identify, what in the world? This is him! Right. This is the Messiah. He's the deliverer. He's the one who's going to set the captive free. Hello, Romans, we're captive? Oh yeah, 2 + 2 is all adding up here. Listen, we're going to be made free. We're going to get deliverance. Why? Well, look, did you see what this guy says? He says all kinds of incredible things. And he thinks it makes sense. He says, the truth shall make you free. He's talking about you'll be free indeed. And he's talking, and not just what he says. Look what he does. He heals people. He casts out demons. He is showing supernatural power showing us that he is indeed the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the King of Kings. He's here. And for some reason, he has allowed me to be in his friendship. These disciples, he's allowed me to be in his fellowship. He's allowed me to be in his circle of influence while here on earth. And guess what? I'm looking forward to that. Boy, that Roman's going to get what he deserves. Tell you what, let freedom ring, because we got the King of Kings. It's going to happen soon. I'm telling you, I seen him do all kinds of stuff. He took my lunch one day, and boy, it's awesome. I mean, we're gonna open our own chain called Loaves and Fishes, and we're gonna be wealthy and free, and it's gonna be awesome. And they have these great expectations, and imagine exactly how they would feel when the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, gave up his life. That's why Peter said what he said. Whoa, 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 be it far from you, Lord. No, this ain't going to happen. No, you can't. No, what are you talking about? Dead and crucified and sacrificed. What are you, lamb? I don't, no. The king, not lamb. You're the king. And imagine how they felt having this expectation. We know that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So my wife is always sick. She was hoping I was like, you know, be handsome. And she's like, wow. Anyway, you know, the hope deferred making the heart sick. And here these folks are. And they had all of this hope invested in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he was crucified. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was dead. He had some promises, some talked about weird things the third day. I don't know what's going on. But verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I submit to you tonight that the Great Commission was given in the face of great doubt. They could hardly believe what was going on. Verse 16 says, when the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, but when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Even after they saw him, they're like, I don't know. What in the world? Is that him? And they begin to have, instead of the idea of faith, they had the idea and the concept of doubt. Right. It wasn't in the time of a great mountaintop experience that Jesus said, and now that you all are spiritually qualified and have reached that status of spiritual creaminess, go for it. No, he didn't do that. You know, they were low. He's like, now pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go. Because they were doubting. They were discouraged. The Great Commission was given in a time of great fear. Look over to the parallel passage in Mark chapter 16, if you will. Mark chapter 16, verse 6. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Verse 8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. Why? For they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11, and they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not him which had seen them after he was risen. These guys were scared. They were fearful. They weren't having a position of power and authority and confidence. They were scared. And right after that, Jesus gives them the Great Commission. Boy, we could find a lot to be fearful of, couldn't we?
Right.
We could find a lot to say, you know what, that I'm not sure. I'm uncertain. And sometimes we package the fear in caution. I'm just being cautious. I'm a little apprehensive. Or I'm just not sure yet. What? Underneath of it all is fear. Okay? We can soft soap it. We can call it a lot of things. But oftentimes, we are in the same boat in 2018. We're in a place of doubt, and we're in a place of fear. We're fearful oftentimes of the lost. We're fearful oftentimes of rejection, aren't we, when it comes to the Great Commission? I don't like to be rejected. I don't like to be made fun of. I don't like to have somebody else roll their eyes at me. When they roll their eyes at me, I want to go slap them and, you know, make sure their eyes don't roll around anymore. We could be fearful of financial difficulty. I could never be involved in Faith Promise. You don't understand. I'm your mom in debt. I got problems. And financially, I just can never afford. We are fearful of financial difficulty. We're fearful of uncertainty. We're fearful of the unknown. We're fearful of missing out, perhaps, when it comes to missions on family. It's not a joke, but you would be surprised at the young people as a young age expressing the call. Man, I'm thinking God wants me to be a missionary. But mom says, here's a big thing of cold water. Let me pour that on your plants. Oh, you wouldn't. You've been kind of a sickly child. And in the back of her mind, she's like, I don't want to lose my son to the mission field.
Right.
I don't want to have my family grow up and not be able to have my grandbabies around me. I'm telling you, that happens more often than we'd like to think of. And the basis of that, my friends, is fear.
Right.
We're fearful of disease. Everybody's like, have you ever seen a poisonous spider? I mean, we think of... Everybody's fearful of these things when you travel. And I was the same way. I'm like, please, Lord, not Africa. When I heard missions, I'm like, okay, but not Africa, because, you know, they have always everything in Africa, everything is just waiting to kill you. And Australia isn't far behind. You go to Australia, and it's like, oh, there's a nice snake. Everything is waiting to kill you. And fear could keep us from that. The fear of persecution. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say about fear. He says in Jeremiah 1:8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Don't be afraid of their countenance. Don't be afraid of talking to someone about Christ. Don't be afraid of that confrontational personal evangelism. Don't be afraid of it. He's with us.
Amen.
He's going to deliver us.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Don't be fearful of man. Why? Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man is your best friend. No, the fear of man bringeth a snare.
Yeah.
It's a trap to be fearful of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, when we succumb to fear, it's as if we put whatever we're afraid of in the place of God.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, I have been fearful. I have been in a place of fear many times and continue to battle that. And I'm telling you what, it's not God's plan for us. Why? How do we know that? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But it was to the fearful the Great Commission was given. It was given to those in great doubt. It was given to those in a time of fear. It was given, the Great Commission was to those who believed not. Mark chapter 16, verse 11. Mark chapter 16 and verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, said, wow, where's he at? No, believed not. Verse 13, they went and told it unto the residue. Hey, listen, this is what happened. We saw him. He's alive. He's alive. Neither believed they them. And in verse 14 again, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. The Great Commission was given to a bunch of believers who were unbelieving at the time, who weren't exercising their faith. Boy, have we ever been there? We've been in a place of doubt. We've been in a place of fear. And we've been in a place where we have been Christians who believe on Jesus Christ, but really we're not believing him very much lately. We're not believing him very much lately. We're surrounded, aren't we? And we're inundated with that which destroys and casts down our faith 24/7. From almost every commercial on television, every billboard down the highway, every influence at work, they never rest, they never stop. But why do we? They are better missionaries than we are.
That's good.
I was out to eat with my brother-in-law. I'm not going to tell you what the commercial involved, but it was something that would be kind of a modern-day push towards bad things in our culture. And he said, man, they just never stop. I just saw this car commercial, and it was very, very awful. And when he said that, he goes, they just never stop. And in the same context, we saw some advertisements on a city bus sanctioned by the city that was all towards the same type of sin and the same type of idea. And I'm thinking, they don't ever stop, do they? Why do we?
That's good.
Why do we only practice and advertise our Christianity on Sunday morning? Why do we only think about world evangelization when the pastor says, all right, time to get some volunteers and do missions. We're going to have our missions conference. We ought to never stop, friend. They never stop. They never stop, parent, trying to lure your child away from your faith. They never stop trying to influence you and I at every chance that they get. We should never stop. But you know what? They believe not. And I think it's interesting to me, Jesus upbraided them. Okay, and that's not exactly like, oh, it's okay. It wasn't like, you know, it was more like a rebuke. Okay, it was more a little stinging. He's like, you guys should have believed them. Interesting to me, God held the disciples accountable for not believing another human being. Sometimes we're like, well, unless the kind of the Thomas idea, unless I see him for myself. God is going to hold people accountable who don't believe a witness. And you know, that's what they're going to, at the judgment one day, people are going to be held accountable for not believing what a witness told them regarding eternity, regarding salvation, regarding eternal life. And you know what? For 44 years, we had a witness in this pulpit. And now for Pastor Holmes, how many years have you been here? 8 years? 9 years?
Eight years?
We've had a witness. Church, we're going to be accountable for believing or not believing our witnesses. I wonder, is our status today all that different than the status of the disciples when the Great Commission was given to them? The Great Commission was given to them who believed not. And the Great Commission was given to sight-oriented worshipers. Look over in Matthew 28, verse 17. And they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. It was some people that when they saw him, they're like, oh man, that's the Lord. I'm going to get down and I'm going to worship. And that's okay. That's a good thing to worship. But you know what? We get to worship all throughout heaven. We get to worship when the angels are flying around saying, holy, holy, holy. And I think tonight, Jesus is kind of saying, listen, you're worshiping, that's good. You are doubting, that's bad. But let me tell you all the same message. Whether you're worshiping me or whether you're doubting me, whether you're fearful or whether you're confident, get up and go. Some people, all they want to do is worship. All they want to do is come on Sunday. Like, well, did you see my new threads? By the way, the church bought me a brand new suit. This is not it. It was the one I was wearing this morning. I'm just kidding. But Brother Art told me to tell people the story. That's not that. That really is an outfit that was prepared for me, custom built for me in Togo, West Africa. And that would be their Sunday best there. I've preached in that in Africa. And it is a high honor for that them to out of sacrifice. They measured me and everything else, and they're like, "Whoa, this is gonna take 3 reams of fabric." Okay, but anyways, that was a blessing. Where was I? I was worshipers. But some of us want to come and show off our duds Sunday morning, and we're a believer, and we got our fire insurance policy, and we are thankful for it. We're thankful that we're on our way to heaven. We're thankful to be redeemed. And we kind of can get the Southern Gospel syndrome, right? We're going to sing about heaven. We're going to talk about heaven, but we're not going to tell anybody else about it. But we're going to rejoice in it ourselves. And he's saying, don't just worship me. Get up and go. And so that's the context. And that's really kind of the gist of the message tonight. What are you worried about? What are we worried about? Because he's given us the Great Commission. He gave them the Great Commission. And it wasn't from a standpoint of power and confidence and this great institution that it was be mighty to behold on planet Earth, the Church of Jesus Christ. No, it was a couple down-and-out followers of Jesus Christ who were doubtful, who were fearful, who had no faith, and who some of them were humbling themselves, worshiping them. And he gives them this command. And I think it applies to us. Number one, he says there is a power. There is a power. To these people, he's like, listen, you're fearful, you're scared. Let me tell you something. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's a power that's unlimited in scope. All power.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we got a job. We got a big job to do. We'll talk about it. It's a big, big job. So I'm glad he said all power. I'm glad he didn't say some power, and it doesn't have any jurisdiction. You know, sometimes people think, well, of course, God is up in heaven, he's all powerful, but you know, he's not here right now, and I need, I can't do it. But he says this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yeah, where we live. In Clyde, all power is given to our Savior. Isn't that good news? Hey, in China, all power is given unto your Savior. Yeah. In Honduras, all power is given unto your Savior. In Indonesia and across the United States, planting churches, all power is our Savior's power. Boy, that changes things a little bit. That changes things from the person who's like, I don't know, the Romans, if they hear about that we're here at the tomb, my word, what are we going to do? What's amazing is, in Mark, I didn't talk about it earlier, but they were fearful and they said nothing to any man. Their fear kept them from speaking what they had witnessed.
Wow.
And our fear will do the same thing to us. It will cripple us. It will squash our witness. It will reduce our effectivity for Christ. Get rid of the fear. Why? Because all power is His. It's a power that is unlimited in scope and unrestricted in jurisdiction. It's all power here. It's all power there. It's all power then. It's all power today. All power. Sometimes I think we lowball things because we forget all power. This frustrates me, and I have to hold my tongue a lot of times when sometimes I'm not always successful, but when I hear people in ministry and I pitch something to them, man, you guys ought to try and do something like,
oh, Brother Sharp, we could never.
And then they say whatever it is. What do you mean you could never? Don't you serve God? What do you mean we could never? He ain't broke. If I looked at my resources and my background and my experience, I would say he could never, Philippines. He could never, Papua New Guinea, Rwanda, Uganda, Liberia, those places, he could never. We could never. But all power is given unto him, and he can, and he has, and he will. There is a power. Number two, there's a purpose. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15. Instead of dwelling on worship and doubt and fear, we must get up and go. When we sit around, we often lose faith. And then fear steps in. What is it? Well, what are we supposed to be doing? Go and preach. Go and teach. Where? All nations. Yeah. All the world. That tells us there's no wrong person to preach to.
Hey. That's
right. Amen. I'm just waiting for the right time. Well, that's probably fear. To whom? Every creature.
Hey.
That means some of those guys you work with, you're not sure. Is he human? I'm not sure. Okay, you can witness to him too, because it's every creature. He doesn't have to. He didn't have to look human, just witness to him. And why? Therefore. What does he say? What does he say? It's go ye therefore and teach. What? So he said, go because of what? Go because of what? What's previous to that? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Go. And we think of that, and I think really a good interpretation of that is what we've been talking about already. I receive great comfort. I receive great confidence from the fact that my Savior has all power.
Hey.
But I also, he says, go ye therefore. What does that mean? He says, all power is given unto me. Now you go. I am all powerful, and I'm telling you, who is not all powerful, to get up and go.
Right.
His power is a comfort, but his power is also a motivation. Here maybe would be a good time to insert a little bit of the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
Because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, says, go. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Church, he's telling us today, I know 2018. I know you're busy. But you know what? God didn't save you to work your job. God saved you to go. He didn't save you to fall at his feet and worship right now. That's coming later. He saved you to go. And he tells us, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now you go. That's the Great Commission. And that's how he gave it. There is a power. There is a purpose. And then I'm glad it's wrapped up this way. Of course, it had to be another P and it had to be three. There is a promise. There is a promise. I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Oh, I know he dwells within us. I know we have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. But I'm telling you, there's a special presence promised to those who go. God will be with you in a special way, working on your behalf, because you're working on his behalf. I am with you always. His presence, the Almighty, the powerful creator of heaven and earth, says, I am with you always.
Hey.
Then he qualifies that for how long? Well, just until Jesus probably, until the disciples died, right? Until the first church of Jerusalem was done, and then it's like, he's not really with them. No. Even unto the end of the world.
Yeah.
Everybody take a breath tonight. Yep, the earth is still here. The earth hasn't ended, so his promise is still true today.
Amen.
If we go in his name, he will be with us, that all-powerful one. and he will get the glory, and we will find fulfillment, and we can leave doubt and fear and discouragement behind us. So as we end the missions conference, have you taken missions and the Great Commission personally? This week is about partly us taking the Great Commission on corporately. We, as a corporate body politic, have spent the money to get these scriptures and all work together to put our hands on them. That's good. We, as a body, are deciding, hey, we're going to take some missionaries on and things like that. And we're talking about, and as a group, we're talking about and thinking about the Great Commission. But that's a good thing, and that's an important thing. But what about personally? Have you taken on the idea of our Savior, our great, almighty, all-powerful Savior, saying to us, no matter what your circumstances is, go. We could use excuses, but probably our excuses pale in comparison to their excuses. You know, they're surrounded by the Romans, and if it wasn't the Romans, it was the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, and those guys that killed the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not too happy to have the disciples around witnessing either. And in the face of that very real, literal persecution, he said, why don't you get up and tell them about Jesus? Why don't you get up and be witnesses here and around here and to everybody, everywhere. And so he gives that command to them. I think all of our excuses that we would have, well, it's my health, it's my this, it's my that. Hey, if you're still drawing God's breath, God has somebody for you to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God has something for us personally to do on the behalf of the Great Commission. And you know, sometimes we think, well, yeah, that's, and it's probably a select few that only are going as missionaries. And I know, be a missionary every day, the kids' song, and I can be a missionary here, right in my own little Clyde, Ohio. And then we can, and there's true. But I think sometimes we talk about that in that way just so we ease our conscience and say, I'm not going. I've had people, it's kind of a fad lately. They're like, yeah, I'm interested in maybe helping out, but I know I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm like, well, did God come and give you the uncall? How did that? You don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, but God's like, just so you know, you are not supposed to go to Africa. Did that happen? No. How can you say, I know I'm not called? Why don't we flip it and say, you know, maybe I am called. You know, there are less and less missionaries all the time.
Right.
I can't tell you the amount of churches that call me weekly saying, do you know of somebody? We need a pastor. Do you know of somebody? We need a youth pastor. Do you know of somebody to call? All the time I get the call, I need somebody for our missions conference. We're looking for good missionaries. You know why? Because less and less of us are saying, here am I, personally, me, insert your name here, I'm going. And more of us are saying, well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I just know I'm not called. That's what's happening more and more. So maybe, just maybe, we could take the Great Commission personally and corporately, but even maybe, just maybe, tonight, God's dealing with your heart, young person, God's dealing with your heart, middle-aged person. Oh, it would be impossible for me to quit my job. Well, that's exactly who God's talking to. God's talking to the person who can't do it because he wants to show you he can, and he is almighty, and he is all-powerful, because all power is given to him in heaven and earth. I think it would be great in 2018, 2019, if the Harvest Baptist Temple began to put out some more missionaries.
Yeah.
Finally get some good ones going on. You got me and Roger, and it's like, it's really bad. You guys need to up your game a little bit. You guys need to up your game. Let's get some quality missionaries out there. Let's get some young people that are saying, you know what, here am I. I'm going, and I'm preparing, and I'm going to do the long haul. Hey, you know, it was a long time before I was a junior in high school, surrendered, had another year of high school, had to do, I don't know, somehow I had packed 4 years into five at Bible college, and then I worked on staff here. It was like 8 or 9 years after my call to missions before I finally went on deputation. It takes a while. So we better get some in the tank. We better get some in the lineup. Better get some people to say, you know what? He said go. He's got all power. Yes, sir. Well, this missions conference would be the best way to end it if we could have some people say, I'm going. I'm going temporary. I'm going permanent. I'm going on a missions trip. I'm going, Brother Sharp, when's your next trip? I'm going. Why? Because he said go. I don't have the money. That's exactly who he's looking for. He'll provide it. You think I've got the money to do all this stuff? No way, Jose. No way. My mom's independently wealthy, but I am not. But the person who said all power is given unto me told me to go.
Amen.
And I'm obliged to do it. And I hope that we'll focus tonight and we won't focus on our fears.
Right.
And we won't focus on our excuses and on our doubt. And we won't focus on all the reasons why we can't. That we'll focus maybe on the one who says for us to do it. I'm telling you, we're not winning. I just spent some time in Iraq. We're not winning, church. We've got a big job to do. And we're supposed to do it till he comes. But he asks a question in the New Testament. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Sometimes I look around and I see how the job we're doing, we're not doing very good. And it's a good question. Will he find faith in the earth? Let's determine that he as long as we're kicking and as long as we're living, he's going to find faith here. He's going to find faith in the people that we're trying to influence for him. Father in heaven, bless this time, we pray. Thank you for this church.